Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There's a phenomenon that's been going on, that's been moving up through Panama, through Central America, to the border of a number of immigrants. And here to talk to us about it is Todd Bensman, Center for Immigration Study, Texas-based senior national security fellow. Todd, welcome to the show.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Todd, I've had you on several times. You have actually gone down there looking at this particular occurrence through the Darien Gap. This new caravan is a little more problematic. They're talking about as many as 35,000 people, but they're coming from countries that are not the same as what we're dealing with at the border right now.
That's right. Our Homeland Security folks refer to these kind of migrants as extra continentals or exotics because they're from all over the world, but primarily, the folks that are coming through the Darien Gap between Colombia and Panama on their way to the southern border are from Central Africa. Now, we've seen some Central Africans show up with the Central Americans at our border, groups of like 300 and 400 at a time. In one case, I think somebody counted 1,000. What happened, though, is that news got back to Central Africa that they can get over the border and that there are sanctuary cities and that we're in disarray and they're just waving them through. And that has sparked what appears to be a major surge of other Africans from places like Cameroon, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Nigeria, Ghana, other West African countries as well, that are on their way through in the largest numbers that I think we've ever seen. So that's what's happening. They're coming through. We should expect to see many more of these kind of migrants hit our border in the coming months.
So I know that you have a number of sources down there. You actually went down to the Darien Gap. They're coming in through Ecuador because Ecuador is a no-visa country. Is that correct?
That's right. The way that I'm told that most of them are making it from so far away is that Ecuador has no visa policy at all.
What does that mean for the benefit of our listening audience? What does that mean exactly?
Well, that means that, for example, if I wanted to fly to the Democratic Republic of Congo, I would have to go to their embassy and get a visa permission, maybe a visitor's visa or a tourist visa or a student visa or a working visa. Ecuador did away with all of its visas years ago, 10 years ago. That turned Ecuador into a people smuggling paradise. So Chinese, African, like any Middle Easterners, anybody who wants to get into the Western Hemisphere goes to Ecuador. They also go to Brazil and other places where it's easy to get a visa or to buy one or bribe one. Nobody really checks too closely or polices that. So there are other countries in South America that are easy to get to. But what I'm told is that almost all of the Africans are coming in through Ecuador. They hop a bus and they get themselves to the Colombia border and then through the Darien jungle, which is about a 9 or 10 day trek into Panama. And I was in Panama myself witnessing this as the migrants were coming in off the Darien trails on their way to the United States. And I did meet and see Africans at that time. I was less interested in the Africans, so I didn't really interview them. I was mostly interested in the Middle Easterners that I was seeing and the Pakistanis Bangladeshis and people from terror-spawning countries who were coming through, including Iranians.
Right. You were looking to see whether or not ISIS or other terrorist organizations were using this same Darien trail to gain entry into the U.S.
My interest, and I was aware of the Africans that were there, but one of the camps that I visited, Las Panitas in Panama, had about 100, 150 migrants in it when I was there in December. And one of the sources that I quote, a nurse practitioner who was in that same camp last week or the week before, I think it was now, told me that there were 1,500 or 2,000 migrants crammed in that camp now, and another couple thousand, and they had to reopen another camp just to the north, the Panamanians, and another one to the south, and that they were just absolutely overwhelmed with Africans primarily.
So I want to quote what one of these guys said. He says, Trump wants to keep us out, but he can't do it. The African migrants that were preparing to board boats to the jungle trails for a 10-day smuggler-led wilderness trek into Panama, and they were very clear about it. He said, if I can't get in now, I'm going to get in while the getting's good. So they know themselves that this is they've been sold on this notion right now that this is their opportunity to get into the United States, and they're going to do whatever they can to take advantage of it, leverage it, and do whatever they can to get to the border.
Yeah, that's the reporting from a freelance journalist that I interviewed who just came from the Colombian jump-off town of Turbo. That's just ahead. And he interviewed migrant after migrant after migrant who were getting on boats and going into the Darien for the passage. And he told me that all of them, everybody he talked to, was extremely aware that our border was in such disarray, that our laws were so filled with loopholes that they hadn't known about before, that that's why they were coming. They were coming to get while the getting's good.
Now, what was interesting in your article, too, is that many of these folks, they're obviously not in good health. They're not able to take care of themselves because this trek, as you have pointed out in a series of articles that you've written on this issue, is not easy. I mean, this is not easy terrain to get across. This is not a joyride by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, that's right. It's a smuggler-guided passage that they have to go through in order to get from South America to Central America and on their way to the United States. Now, the Panamanians have a policy called controlled flow where they are collecting migrants, and rather than turning them back or flying them home or detaining them, do exactly the opposite. They do everything they possibly can within state power to facilitate their continued travel northward out of their country and into ours. It's called controlled flow. They get them medical care coming off the Darien. They put them in these camps, feed them, house them, make sure they have access to money wire transfer services, that they are able to get buses, air-conditioned commercial buses to the Costa Rican border. And then they're dropped off systematically at the Costa Ricans, who are part of the policy. And then the Costa Ricans move them, take good care of them as well, and move them officially with permissions and, you know, legal status to the Nicaraguan border. The Nicaraguans are not involved. So the smugglers have to take over again from Nicaragua. But from Panama through Costa Rica, that leg is just a greased skid for these thousands and thousands of migrants that are coming through. Now, you mentioned that, you know, they're sick and they're diseased. Yes, that's true. But the other problem with African migrants, especially as I've written, the Democratic Republic of Congo, is that any of them will show up at our border without any sort of identification. Any way for us to be able to confirm whatever the name is that they did give us. And the Democratic Republic of Congo has a very rapacious ISIS franchise operating in its territory. They're marauding all over the eastern side of the Democratic Republic of Congo. And Congo also is very notorious for having thousands and thousands of tribal militias that are just ruthless, that are marauding and massacring. So we don't know if the men that we're getting at our border are persecuted or persecutors, whichever. So there's a pretty good chance that we'll be taking in war criminals and possibly ISIS people. There's no way to vet these folks. I'm calling on Homeland Security to detain these folks for longer so that we have at least some chance to conduct security vetting on them before we release them into our interior to try to figure out who they actually are.
Well, Todd, this situation now where these federal judges ordered a bond hearing within 7 days, that is not a good thing for any of this. You know, I mean, that really just stresses out Customs and Border Patrol even more so.
Well, you know, bonding out, I understand that that's going to be probably a function or a solution, rather, to just, you know, mass overcrowding. Got to get these people moved out so that we can free up bed space for the next group that's coming in. But I think that's just a problem from a security standpoint with these particular kinds of migrants. Remember, it's not just the Democratic Republic of Congo that are coming in. There are Iraqis and Egyptians that were just caught in Nicaragua who were reputed to be members of ISIS. And they were detained by the Nicaraguans after the Panamanians and the Costa Ricans moved them through, like I was explaining earlier.
Yeah.
And they almost got away. But there are Middle Easterners that are coming in with all of these African migrants, and people from all over the world, or the world's poor, are now aware that they can get in over our border, fly into Ecuador, and caravan in.
Yeah. I don't know where we get to an end in this. I mean, the asylum loophole obviously seems to be the linchpin for all of this, and without resolving it. I find that folks are just not getting their hands around the gravity of this situation.
Well, I mean, the issue there is that it's complicated. There are laws that are on the books that get sort of enforced and others ignored. Parts of it get challenged in the courts. Other parts are picked and chosen. For enforcement, and it's the whole thing is very complicated. People don't understand, for example, about Ecuador. Why does Ecuador matter to us?
Yeah.
Why is what Panama and Costa Rica doing? Why does that matter to us? It's just simply, and what's Mexico doing, and where are they? They were supposed to deploy their National Guard to the Guatemala border, but I just talked to a reporter who just came from the busiest. A spot on that border where all of the Central Americans go through, and there wasn't a single Mexican soldier anywhere.
Yep.
And they're supposed to be there.
So, in one case, we're getting lip service. We see them at our southern border, and they're supposed to be down there as well, and obviously they're not. Todd, thank you so much.
It's a mess.
Have a great Independence Day weekend. Truly appreciate your time and your insight and your reporting, as always. Thanks again.
Sure. I wish I could have had a happier message for you.
Me too, my friend.
All right. Take care.
Todd Bensman, Center for Immigration Studies, Texas-based Senior National Security Fellow. We'll be right back. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.